Our epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, reading from Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And may God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. 2 weeks ago, during our celebration of World Communion Sunday, we participated in our denomination's annual Peace and Global Witness Offering, formerly known as the Peacemaking Offering. And the theme of the sermon that day focused on our calling to be nonviolent peacemakers in the world around us. And it dealt with working toward an external and relational peace with others. And I made just one brief mention, however, of working toward an internal, personal sense of peace, and that's that peace of being calm and peaceful within one's own skin. And I mentioned, perhaps we can describe it as serenity, an internal quality of being calm and still, even in the midst of the storms we face in life. It is this internal peace of mind that for many seems more and more elusive and hard to hang on to. Well, we've all been there, and perhaps some of us are there right now. So during this past week, I felt drawn to explore in greater depth that quest for internal peace within ourselves. The professional field of psychology has contributed much to this discussion, and we'll look at some of that in a moment. For the scriptures also have much to say about seeking internal peace. So let's start there. The Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians is particularly helpful. It is all about rejoicing. And he wrote this while he was in prison. Most of us are familiar with Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And why should we rejoice? Because he said, God is near. And we are then encouraged with these words, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your prayer requests be made known to God. So we are reminded of the importance of spiritual disciplines in our lives. Those things that help you and I connect with the sacred presence of God beyond us. God with us and God within us. We're also reminded of the importance of being grateful and thankful people. Internal peace of mind is impossible without a thankful heart. And verse 7 reveals the outcome of all this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, what is the ultimate source of our peace? We learn that it is not ourselves, but God. And I personally experience a greater sense of peace within myself just by reminding myself of that simple fact. And then verse 8 and 9 give further guidance that will actually help us focus on those things which can help bring us peace. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I must confess, however, that I am among those who often find that my own focus and attention are drawn elsewhere, like to the recent string of one devastating natural disaster after another. And there's the daily drama and chaos coming out of our nation's capital. And I guarantee you, focusing on that never leads to a peace of mind, but rather just increases a sense of anxiety and even fear about the state of the world we live in. So I encourage all of us to take a break now and then from those things that rob us of peacefulness, joy, and contentment. But saying that, our circumstances in life may not always allow us to simply turn off or walk away from stressful, sometimes even harmful situations. So how do we find peace, even in the midst of the storms that batter our hearts and minds and our lives? Well, a case can be made that one way of working toward an internal peace of mind comes by understanding and fulfilling what it means to be content. 1 Timothy 6:6-8 addresses this directly when it states, "Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these." You know, this passage directs us to ask of ourselves, how much is enough? And am I truly thankful for who I am and for what I have? In our consumer-driven culture, we are constantly bombarded with the idea that we should be discontented with ourselves if we don't buy this or acquire that. Only then, we tell ourselves, will we be happy and fulfilled? But we know it doesn't work that way, don't we? And many of us have learned this lesson the hard way and continue to fall into that trap. And perhaps have indeed heard the following definition, one I just shared with the children during our time with the children. Contentment is not having all you want, but wanting only what you have. Contentment is also about learning to live life fully in the present moment, today, right now, this very minute. Not being consumed by either recounting the past or only longing for the future. It's the old, the grass is always greener on the other side of the hill syndrome. But again, what about when life really is tough, perhaps even frightening or dangerous? The Apostle Paul addresses this as well. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10 reveals, "Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me." Well, unfortunately, Paul never tells us what this thorn in his flesh actually was. "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Well, I'm not too sure how many of us could ever come to this same realization that we can be content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. But have you noticed that holding on to a sense of hope is crucial, a crucial element in this quest for seeking internal peace and contentment? And there is a wonderful visual picture of hopefulness in the midst of terrible circumstances. It's found in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk. $10 for the first person who can find that in 5 seconds. It was written not long before the Babylonians captured Jerusalem and took its ruling elite into exile in the late 6th century BCE. So picture in your mind the circumstances painted by these poetic words. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vine, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no crop, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. God makes my feet like the feet of deer and makes me tread upon the heights. In the midst of extreme and desperate times, times of failure, not success, the prophet could still affirm hope and trust and faith in God, even to the point of being able to rejoice. So note that being able to rejoice is a choice. It's not unaware nor ignorant of tragedy or hard times. Rather, it is grounded in a profound awareness of both the delights and the sorrows of life. And also, please take note that the Bible does not say to rejoice in all of your life's circumstances. Instead, it says, rejoice in the Lord, always. Being able to rejoice and find peace is a divine gift. As Catholic priest Henry Nouwen puts it, does not leave us during illness, grief, oppression, or persecution. It does not depend on the circumstances of our lives or even our momentary feelings. And Nouwen goes on to state, we do have a choice, not so much in regard to our circumstances in life, but in regard to the way we respond to those circumstances. And I found the following online just this week in an article entitled, Six Strategies to Finding Contentment in the Present. It's by Melissa Wilder Joyce, and she writes, finding contentment in the present lies within the walls of deliberately letting go of the worries that we are not where we're supposed to be, but instead attempting to understand that where we actually are is part of our personal journey. That's living in the moment. And I want to close with some wisdom from a blog by Nicole Franco. This one's entitled, Five Simple Actions for Pure Peace and Contentment. And I found it on the website tinybuddha.com. I'm trying to expand my field of resources. They are, show humility, recognize enough, simplify life, have real fun, and make room for quiet. And concerning this last point, making room for quiet, she writes, whether you pray, meditate, listen to nature, or even just be. Allow yourself to hear what is in your heart. Connecting with what is inside better prepares you to deal with the exterior world with calmness and peace. Give up control and release yourself to thoughts and emotions that can heal and strengthen and even surprise you. Your inner voice often has something to say. And you can best recognize that gut feeling that can act as a reliable compass once you turn off all the noisy, messy, distracting sounds of life. I describe it, she writes, as being plugged into the positivity around me. And from a Christian perspective, I'd call that connecting with the sacred presence around and within. And then she concludes, I am not all calmness and peace all the time. I have a full and often chaotic life with children and a job. But with a few mindful adjustments, I have found a season of contentment. And for that, my thankfulness abounds. May God bless you and your journey and quest for a season of contentment. And together, let us remember that this day, this moment, God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.